that song is a song that one of the other guys wrote some time ago, Logan Creasy. And if you know Logan and Melody, they adopted a little girl whose name is Grayson. And at one point in time, they were raising money for the adoption, and Logan was seeking the Lord about him leading them to do that. And he wrote that song. And that song is about our adoption as sons and daughters in Christ. But he wrote it while they were in the process of adopting their daughter, Grayson. And it's such a special song to us, and such a cool song. I hear a song like that, and I think, man, all the people out there that don't even know about that song, don't get to worship with that song, don't know what they're missing, kind of a thing. I say all that to say this, and this is kind of a side note, but I think it's important because it's sometimes just a communication thing of things like this that you may not even know are a part of what we do here at 24. But we started this back then. We started an adoption fund called Craving Grayson, and that fund is still there. We have people that give weekly, monthly, once a year, whatever, every once in a while to the Craving Grayson Fund. And basically that fund exists to help people, especially within our church, to help people adopt. If God ever leads you to adopt, please come talk to us. We've got people in our church that have been through that. We've got a lawyer in our church that feels one of the things that God has led her to do is to help people with that process. Lo and behold, wouldn't you know that they ended up adopting this year, and how God uses those things is amazing. But I just want to make all that stuff aware to you in case you don't know that, or in case you thought that, you know, that didn't exist anymore. It still does, and that's a very important piece to who God has called us to be in 24, that we might adopt as we have been adopted in Christ. And we're actually talking about that today. We're actually talking about our adoption in Christ today. I'm talking about Christ the Redeemer today. We're in the midst of this Advent series that we've been going through. The last couple weeks we talked about Creator and Sustainer, Christ the Creator and Christ the Sustainer, and some really cool pieces to this series as we've been looking at, as we think about, you know, that picture that we think of with the Nativity and this baby that was born to a virgin and all of this stuff, you know, as we think about all that, you know, I think that it's important for us to take these pieces and to put them into that scenario. Because if we're not careful, we're just making this like, you know, a nursery in a barn kind of a scenario that we're, you know, in our minds, that's really all we've got going on. And the truth is that it's so much more than that. The truth is that, you know, God sent His Son, who was the Creator of the world, to be born as this baby, that He might live this life. We're going to talk about a little bit of that, but also that He's these other things, that he is also the Sustainer, that as He was born as a baby, He was sustaining all of creation. As we read last week in Colossians 1, and we're going to keep reading in that passage for a few minutes here in just a minute, but we read last week that it teaches us that Christ holds all things together. And that includes the moments that, like, He was born as a baby, and that includes the moments that we hung Him up on a tree and we were killing Him. He was still holding all things together. Every physical law that we can think of, gravity, whatever, I mean, He was holding all those things together. Even in those moments, He was still Creator. He was still the Sustainer of all things. And just so you know this, you know, generally when I'm doing this, I'm preaching to myself. That's generally how this works for me. And then, you know, if God speaks to you through it, then so be it. But as I've been, you know, speaking through these things over the last couple weeks, God has challenged me. God has continually challenged me that my trust would be in Him, that He would be my sustainer, and that I would quit looking at other things in this world to sustain me, to try to bring me joy, to try to bring me happiness. Jesus, Creator, Sustainer, and this week we're talking about Jesus the Redeemer. And I gotta tell you, it's exciting to get to talk about Jesus the Redeemer. And I'll be just real honest with you. After weeks like what we've had this past couple of days, this past week, with what's been going on, we need to be reminded that Jesus is the Redeemer. We need to be reminded that God loves us, and we're going to be reminded of that today. If you've got your Bible with you, go ahead and take it out. If you don't have a Bible, we've got ushers, and they are awesome, and they love carrying huge stacks of Bibles up and down the aisles. And they need you to lighten their load by you borrowing one. If you left yours at home or in the car, or if you don't own one, guess what? You can keep it. It's a gift. We'll give it to you. But we're going to go to Colossians 1, and then we're going to go to Galatians 4 shortly after that. But Colossians 1 is where we're going to start. And, in this whole idea of revealing the treasure of Christ, I think one of the things that we can get from, just an understanding of who Christ is more and more, I think it's important for us to spend time on these things, like what we've done the last couple of weeks with Creator and Sustainer, and this week with Redeemer. But, just even the word treasure, that we could understand that there is so much to know about Christ, that there are treasures that He holds as to who He is, that the more we understand who He is, the more we are changed by that, And so, like, when I hear the word treasure, I'm thinking about, like, pirates, all right? I'm thinking about buried treasure. I'm thinking about sunken ships. I'm thinking about Gold Rush, Alaska. Anybody watching Gold Rush, Alaska these days? Just tell me. Come on. That is the best show on TV right now. I love this show. I don't know what it is about that show, but I like that show. And you see these guys, and they're out, and they're mining gold. As they say it, they're making gold. They're digging this stuff up out of the ground and running it through, these sluice things and all this stuff. I mean, it's crazy. And then they do all this for like a little jar, of gold. It's like this little bitty jar, and they've got all this huge, hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment all for like a jar of gold, but they've got big dreams. And as I see them like digging up that treasure, one of the things that becomes apparent to me is that there's these moments in that show, and it's supposed to be real life, it's reality TV, we'll assume, whatever. There's moments in there where, they are looking for this next hurdle to overcome. They're looking for, moments where the investors, that have put up the money for the equipment are saying, well, you've got to have this much gold by this date, and if they can just make it to that date, they'll redeem themselves and be able to continue mining gold. And it's a lot like us, honestly. I mean, we're constantly like throughout the week, we're just constantly like thinking, man, if I can just make it past this, if I can just make it to Friday afternoon, or if I can just make the sale on that one thing, it'll redeem all these things in my life right now. And the truth is, some of those things are good things, but the truth is that those moments of redemption, those are just momentary. They're not forever. And Christ offers a redemption that is forever. Colossians 1 says this in verse 18. We've been reading through these passages before, but we're gonna pick up in verse 18. And I'm not going to break down a whole lot of 18 and 19. We're going to talk about 20, but I want to go ahead and read them because we're going to come back to them next week. And it says this in verse 18. It says, "And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God is pleased to dwell." In verse 20, here we go. "And through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross." Verse 20 helps us to see some of the redemptive power that Christ has, that He would reconcile all things. I think that this is really important this morning. We've been singing about this morning. You may not realize it, but we've been singing about how God is going to make all things new. Christ is going to make all things new. That very first song we sang this morning was all about that. How Christ could take, God could take anything and make it new. And He will take all things. It teaches us, verse 20, "And through Him to reconcile Himself all things." And I want you to continue to read that. It says, "whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross." For Him to reconcile all things. I think, you know, just even the word reconcile, reconciliation. We've talked about this in weeks past, but I'll just bring it back up again. You know, that for us to understand that reconciliation is bringing all things together, bringing things back to a peaceful place. And so, you know, we see this is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is a ministry of Christ that He does, that He's doing, and He's doing it in us, and He's calling us to do it. I want you to get that, because a very scriptural piece of this is that we're not just called to be reconciled to God, but we are called to be a part of the actual ministry of reconciliation. The question becomes, are we allowing God to use us as part of a ministry of reconciliation? You think about all the folks that God's placed in your life and many different scenarios, and you think about, you know, how some of those relationships can be very strained at times. You know, maybe, you know, they've done something against you, you did something to them, whatever, you know, there's 50,000 different things. But at the end of the day, they're there for a reason. God's placed them there for a reason. And so as we study and understand that God has sent His Son and through Him to reconcile Himself all things, there's this understanding that as He is called, and He's called Himself, He is doing that. That's a part of His mission, and at the same time, He's called us to do the same. That we would be a part of reconciling others to Him. You say, Chris, I can't even imagine some of the scenarios in my life reconciling, you know, having peaceful conversations even with people. But you read this passage and it says, not only does it say, and through Him to reconcile Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, which gives us this, you know, after death or during life, or this could mean other things, who knows. But then it goes on and says, and making peace by the blood of His cross. Let me tell you something. If you're having trouble with understanding how God might be able to overcome a relationship that you have with somebody, this last verse right here, the last part of this verse, levels the playing field for every one of us. You see, here's what we do. We make it about us. We make it about us. It's all about us. We make it about us. And so you take this piece, that making peace by the blood of His cross, that Jesus has the ability to do that through the ministry of reconciliation, that He has the ability, that He can do that with anyone, completely throws out the window any idea that any certain person could never know Jesus as their Savior. He's making peace by the blood of the cross. Peace. You know peace? Like, we would love to have some peace. Weeks like this week, we'd love to have some peace, wouldn't we? We would love to see peace. Truth is, most of us can't even find peace at the house, right? You got kids, they're running like crazy. You got a roommate, they can't pick up their stuff, can't wash the dishes, you know? I mean, like, you know, and especially like with the kids, man, we just want some peace. Parents, let me give you a little something. Here's what you do to your kids this week. When they're acting crazy and you want some peace, I just want you to just put one of them right in their face. Just be like, see that? Come from the cross. Peace. Just give them peace. And if they keep talking, just give it to them again. That's from Jesus. Peace. Hush your mouth. Peace. You know? Jesus did a work on the cross that brings peace. And that is so important for us today. It is so important for us today. I want to switch gears. I want to go to Galatians 4. And this is the passage that we're going to camp on this morning. We'll go back to Colossians 1 next week. Don't worry. But Galatians 4, in this passage in Galatians 4, we see Christ the Redeemer full on, I mean, just all out. And it says this in verse 4 of Galatians 4. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. I'm going to stop right there. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Each one of these pieces are huge pieces right here, okay? First off, but when the fullness of time had come, tells us there's something going on. Tells us that there was a plan, okay? We've been talking about this the last few weeks, but God has a mission, okay? God has a mission, and his mission is going on even in the midst of crazy, crazy things that have happened like what we've seen this week. He's still got a mission. He's still going to carry it out despite what evil men may do and despite what sin may do. God still has a mission. And in his mission, one of the pieces that we can know is that he has a mission. He has a plan. We talked about this last week. Remember the A-Team, Hannibal Smith? You know, we love it when a plan comes together. God's got a better plan than Hannibal Smith from the A-Team, okay? It's hard to believe, but it's true. So, with an understanding that God has a mission, that he has a plan, we see right here that but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, that this was a plan. This was a part of the plan, and when the time was right, God would send the creator, the sustainer, the redeemer, the king. And he does so. When it was all right, right timing, right for the plan, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. His son. His son, okay? His son. Now, I know we know that. We're used to thinking about that, but I want you to think about, like, God could do this any dozen different ways he wanted to do this. He could have sent, like, the intern that's not been real good at getting the coffee this week, and, like, let's just send that guy. You know, that won't hurt anybody. We'll just, you know, he kind of gets on my nerves. No, he sent his son, okay? God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Under the law, born of a woman. We have the picture that the wise men and the shepherds and the angels are talking about, that the heavenly host are singing about, this picture, this understanding that this son was born of a woman and he was born under the law? What does that mean? What's the big deal about that? Here's the big deal about that. The fact that Christ was born under the law is one of the keys to the fact that he could be our Savior. Think about this with me for just a second. The law. Let's go Old Testament here. The law. Think about, just if nothing else, just go Ten Commandments. Anybody in here, have you kept all Ten Commandments ever? Anybody ever kept all Ten Commandments, like, over your life? You ever kept them all? No. Because you can't. Because you're a sinner. And so am I. We're sinner idiots, okay? We need a Savior. And I think for us to understand this morning that the way things worked before, under the law, we couldn't meet the law. We couldn't keep the law. Like, even if we wanted to, we're still, because of our sin nature, we're going to fail at that. God needed to make a way for us to be redeemed. He needed to make a way that we might be saved. And so he sent his son. Now, what's important about that? Okay, he sent his son who is fully God, but also fully man. He sent him as a man so that he could suffer and we could identify with him, so that in moments on Friday, we can at least have some understanding that God understands the pain. Okay? But at the same time, he sent not just a man, but he sent Jesus, his son, who is equally God, 100% God, 100% man, so that this 100% God, because he's God, he's perfect. See that? He can't sin. It's against his nature. He wouldn't even be God if he did sin. And so he's the only man that's ever walked the earth that could be the sacrifice needed to be given for sin. For my sin, for your sin. He sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. He was born under the law so that he could keep the law, and he would live his life, and he would suffer well, and he would keep the law, and then he could be sacrificed for our sin. He is the only Redeemer. Born under the law. And in verse 5, it tells us why. To redeem those who were under the law. You know who that was? All of us. We were under the law. But then Christ came to redeem those who were under the law. So that we might receive, here it comes, you ready for it? So that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And there's this awesome name for God that is clearly and specifically pointing, wanting us to see that He wants us to see Him as our Heavenly Father. That He wants to see, He wants us to see Him as a heavenly, as our heavenly parent. That when our parents may fail us, He won't. That when our parents can't do for us, He can. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Holy Spirit. He sent Him into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, that we might cry out for our Heavenly Father. And in verse 7, so you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. And this stuff is so rich. I mean, we could dig on this all day long. So that we might receive adoption as sons. You think about families that get to adopt, and some of you maybe that are praying even now about adopting children. And you think about, you know, the heart that goes into that and the love, you know, I mean, because let's face it, you know, even if you're adopting a baby, they all grow up and you end up just having to like give them some of these, like, you know, to just keep it at bay. You know, but this awesome thing that happens when we are able to be a part of that process and we are able to adopt, that God allows us to be able to love someone unconditionally for no reason at all other than we love them. And He's loved us first, and He's given us the ability to love like that. See, that's our Heavenly Father. He loves us. He loves us. And on weeks like this week, we need to hear. We need to be reminded that God loves us. We need that. I need that. That He adopted us. And that He did so by sending His perfect and only Son. He didn't have to do that. But He loved us and He wanted to redeem us. And this was the only way. And because you were sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave. A slave? What is that even talking about? So that we are no longer slaves to sin. Did you know this? Did you know that if you know Christ as your Savior, if He is your Savior, if He has rescued you, do you know that He rescued you from sin? Do you know that that's the big piece here? One of the biggest reasons that we need Christ is to rescue us from our sin. And for us to understand that means this. It means that if we have sin in our life after we have come to know Christ, we are no longer a slave to it. Now, Satan, the evil one, he wants us to think that. He wants us to think, I will never get over that sin. I will always have that sin. It has control over me. And if you know Christ, I'm here to tell you that it does not. It does not have control over you. Christ died once, and his blood was enough. And his resurrection from the dead, defeating death, was enough that we have freedom from sin. And it no longer has a reign on us, and we are no longer slaves to it. And so he says, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. At the time that Paul wrote this, God spoke through him. It was a normal thing, and this will sound kind of odd as we're talking about adoption today. It was a normal thing that somebody would adopt a man, a grown man. This sounds kind of crazy. It sounds like an Adam Sandler movie or something. But the truth is this, they would sometimes adopt a man many times because maybe they didn't have an heir. You know, they had an estate. They had whatever, their belongings, their possessions, their servants, their whatever, almost kind of like a little kingdom going on at times. And so they would want to leave that to somebody, or maybe they didn't trust their own kids or whatever. But also, it wasn't always just that they just picked somebody out and they thought, you know, that's a good guy. You know, I think he would do a good job at, you know, taking care of the joint here. But a lot of times what would happen is that, you know, people that were higher up, government officials, big military officials that were higher up in rank, a lot of times would, when they would have a son, they would actually give their son over to their servants for their servants to raise. And so he would remain a servant up until a certain point in life, and when the father felt like he was ready, a coming of age, if you will, so to speak, he would, this is crazy, I know, he would adopt him back as his son. So when we read, so you are no longer a slave, and in some interpretations a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. That is this understanding that they have of something special that was happening within families at that time, that God wants us to be His children, and He wants to redeem us. True adoption into His family only comes through knowing Christ. What Jesus has done for us, no one else could do. He was the perfect sacrifice. And in John 3:16, it says this. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. So loved the world. So loved the world. And on Friday, I had to go back to this, and I had to be reminded of the gospel, that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That while we were still sinners, God made this sacrifice for us. If you came to me and you were sinning against me, why would I want to do anything for you? But God didn't take that stance. And honestly, we shouldn't either. And in verse 17, it goes on and it says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. God is going to reconcile this world back to Himself through Jesus. Advent is the celebration of the coming of Christ, but it's also the celebration of not just the coming of Christ as we think of as this baby boy born of a woman who came just to redeem through the cross and overcoming death, but it's also the celebration of the coming of Christ again. He's coming again. He's coming again, and to be honest with you, it could be today. It could be this afternoon. It could be while we're asleep tonight. It could be next month. When's the end of the world? When was that supposed to be? Is that this week? This coming Friday, or was that this past Friday? Coming Friday. Okay, there you go. Maybe it's Friday. Probably not, though, because somebody guessed it, and we know from Scripture that you can't do that, which is amazing to me that people keep trying to do that, you know? He's coming back. And he's coming back, and he's going to make all things new. And it's going to change everything. I was working for a company years ago when I was in college, and we got bought out during that time. And when you get bought out, everything changes. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, it's not all bad necessarily, but there's just something, I don't know if you've ever been in that scenario or not, but there's just something when you have like a manager change or the company gets bought out kind of a scenario and you're there working and all of a sudden, you know, just everything starts to change. And for no other reason, it's just a little weird because you just don't have any say-so usually. For the most part, they're going to come in and they're going to do what they want to do because it's a buyout. And so generally with a buyout, you've got a CEO or, you know, somebody that's got some cash and they're, you know, probably successful at doing something else, you would think. And so they have decided that, you know, either this company is worth buying because it's lucrative or it has potential that they see in it that they could do something with it. The word redeem means buyout. The word redeem means to buy out. God bought us with His Son because He loved us. And because He loves His creation and it is meant and created, and this includes me and you, it is created to bring Him glory. He can't help but want to be for us because He created us to be for Him. Which begs of us to ask the question, am I seeking to be a part of the mission of God, including reconciling others back to Him, or am I just on my own thing? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever, no matter what, believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God bought us out to change us. Every buyout has changes. But the changes that come from being bought with the blood of Christ are changes that will completely transform our lives. And after days like we've had recently, we need to be reminded of the goodness of who God is and what He's been willing to do for us because He loved us. He'd sent His Son for us to redeem us. And that little baby that we will celebrate next week and that we celebrate right now, that little baby born of a virgin is our Redeemer. So, I've been praying this morning, and I'm sure there have been others that have been doing the same. But I've been praying this morning specifically for you that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, and I could care less how much church time you've got under your belt, but that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that God would convict your heart and that He would reconcile you back to Himself and that today He would become your Redeemer, that you might no longer be a slave to sin, and that God could do a special work in you and use you for His glory and for His kingdom. for the rest of us that know Christ, we have to ask ourselves some questions. Are we on mission with God? The mission of God, part of being on mission, on the mission of God is just in general, because of His nature, is ascending, that He sends us, that He's constantly sending us. I don't know if you realize that, but He's constantly sending us. He is a sending God. That is part of the mission. It's part of His nature. So are we on mission? Are we allowing God to use us in the reconciliation ministry in other people's lives, that we're bringing people to Him, that we would lead people to Him, that they would see Jesus in us? He bought us for a price, and He didn't do so we would get fire insurance. He did so that while we live here, we would glorify Him, and that when we're not, we get to enjoy Him. Let's pray together.